His name was Clarence Miller, and I can't think of a single person in Dover City who could stand him. It wasn't that he was bad-looking. I mean, he didn't have body odor or bad breath. And Clarence certainly wasn't any GQ model. But he wasn't creepy. It's just that in Dover City, roles were clearly defined from the moment you were potty trained. Girls were sweet and docile and wore pink ribbons in their hair. Boys were brash and blustery and played sports and were masculine down to their jock straps. You had one of two choices. You could conform and be accepted, or be different and be weird. I chose the former. I was pretty. I was smart, but not too smart. I was very good at tennis, but I always let the boys win. And I was dating the varsity quarterback, Greg Wilkes. Greg had everything Dover High expected a guy to have. Good looks, a certain kind of bestial charm, and a killer instinct on and off the football field. Ironically, it was through Greg and his pass plays that I found out about Clarence. It was after the last game of the season, and Greg and I were parked. Dover High had won that night, which put Greg in an especially amorous mood. I just wanted to sit there and talk without, you know, football. But that was all Greg wanted to talk about. I finally screamed, "Can't we just talk about something else for a change?" Well, that really set Greg off. I can still remember his words. "What do you want me to do? Give up football? Would you rather have me take ballet lessons like that fruity Clarence Miller?" It turned out that Greg's younger sister studied dance at the same studio as Clarence. I questioned his tone with me, but he came back with, "Let's not waste any more time on Clarence and his ballet, baby. I can think of better things to do." And so Clarence was shoved to the back of my mind as I grappled with Greg's affections. When I got to school on Monday, the entire student body was buzzing with the ridicule. I didn't really give it much thought until fifth period government, which I had with Clarence and about 10 football players. The minute he walked into the room, I knew there was going to be trouble. I saw an almost imperceptible tightening of Clarence's jaw when he sat down. But he said nothing, just opened his books. "Oh, the strong, silent type," Chuck whispered to Ron. "You better watch your step, because we don't need any fairies prancing around this town," Phil added. "All right, so the guy took dance lessons. Why didn't they just leave him alone? He was no threat to them." Or was he? Fall dragged into winter. December has always had a bad effect on me, and that year was particularly rotten. One especially bleak day, I had a fight with Greg over the phone. He had made the mistake of making too many cracks. "Have you heard the latest about Clarence?" he asked. I was sick of it, because somehow I saw something of myself in Clarence. I shouted, "Why don't you just keep your big mouth shut?" And I slammed the phone down, flung on an old jacket and a pair of snow boots, and I stomped out into the gray afternoon. I don't know how long I wandered in that cold rain, but I ended up outside of the dance studio. I went in, past the practice rooms and into the auditorium where they hold all of the dance recitals. And there was Clarence, all alone on the stage in a black leotard. He was just standing there. Oh, you should have seen him. He was beautiful. I know that sounds stupid, but he was. He was there on that stage, standing under a pitiless spotlight, his head bent and his hands folded in front of him. And then there was music pouring out of the speakers with those first lilting, heartbreaking strains. Clarence began to dance. And not ballet, but a combination of jazz and ballet and something I can't name, all merging together to celebrate the song, but glorify the dancer. When it was over, I was crying. I got up from my seat and I walked slowly towards the stage. Clarence was wiping his face with a towel and he looked out. He wasn't startled, although I'm almost sure he hadn't seen me until that moment. I wanted to thank him, to apologize, to say, "I'm sorry, Clarence. I'm so sorry." But the words wouldn't come. He got down off of the stage and he wiped the tears off of my face. "Kathy," he said, "get out while you can. Do you know what I mean?" I knew exactly what he meant. I turned and I left the studio. 2 days later, he was dead. It seemed that Greg, Chuck Kilmer, Ron Smith, and Phil Dennison had a few beers and decided to play chicken in Phil's dad's car, with Clarence as the opponent. Clarence's car spun out, went into a ditch, and he was thrown onto the icy road. It was ruled an accident, of course. The boys all got 6 months probation. I had nightmares for 6 months, thinking of those strong, beautiful dancers' legs being crushed and crumbled beneath that December sky. I stopped letting boys beat me at tennis. And in spring, after I graduated with honors, I got out of Dover City. I'm living in Denver now, and I'm the editor of a local magazine, but I have prospects of even better and brighter things in my future. And someday, when I'm famous enough to merit an interview, I will smile a secret little smile and reply, "Well, see, there was this boy named Clarence Miller, and I can't think of a single person in Dover City who could stand him."